This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. The Southern California woman who gave birth to octuplets earlier this month has been a topic of discussion at water coolers, bus stops, and even medical school classrooms. Nadia Solman has been praised by the pro-family lobby, attacked by the media, and had her clarity of thinking questioned by the average person who's struggling to manage just a few young children. Solman, a 33-year-old single mother, denies she is irresponsible and claims she can handle her family of 14 children, all under the age of 7. In a recent seminar, medical students wondered out loud if we have our priorities backwards. One recounted how she had recently seen several women who were having their second, third, or fourth baby, all born with fetal alcohol syndrome. Another told of drug-addicted women who were unable to stop using drugs, even knowing that it would affect the outcome of their babies. Still another told of a 15-year-old teen having her second child, even after protective services removed her first child because she couldn't care for it. One student, looking a bit sheepish, raised her hand to ask if perhaps women should be required to have a license to reproduce. She acknowledged that in our country, women have a right to prevent getting pregnant, but perhaps giving birth shouldn't be a right, but a privilege. Legal and ethical experts define a term personal procreative liberty as the freedom to decide whether or not to have and raise children without government interference, unless there's a compelling reason to limit that freedom. The issue becomes what constitutes a compelling reason. Is drug addiction, mental retardation, immaturity? There's another concept called procreative liberty for society. This suggests that a society should have the ability to decide what types of reproductive circumstances are in the best interest of a healthy society. Assisted reproductive technologies have allowed a large percentage of infertile women to have children. But should there be a limit as to the number of embryos a woman can have? And what about the quality of the fetus? What if a woman is known to be carrying a fetus with a fatal or severe deformity? Should she alone have the right to make a reproductive decision? Does it matter if she's rich and can pay for the baby on her own or if she's poor? Clearly, Nadia Solman, having given birth to more than 8 premature infants, has rekindled the debate around fitness for motherhood, the abuse of reproductive technologies, and the role of society in choosing to limit a woman's choice. Perhaps it's time not to attack the individual, but a time for society to ponder some important issues. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion.